It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, hit it.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, your real estate advocates, community connectors. 803-810-2230 if you have any real estate questions, comments, or concerns. Or, as always, go to our website, www.thejoneszoneswithans.com. So that's the Jones Zones with an S. Brian, how are you?
My man, I'm doing well. I'm really excited for today's podcast because we have somebody who's going to talk about like energy and spirits. And it's awesome.
As you drink your coffee and your Bang energy drink.
Right?
Yeah, man. Energy.
I'm excited about energy.
I need more energy.
All right. So without further ado, man, let's get into it then. So we are joined today by Marnie Setlis, who is an intuitive energy healer, medium, and personal meditation trainer. So she helps professionals heal stress and tension by creating more wholeness and joy inside of them. And she uses powerful melding of intuitive energy healing modalities to help them shift gears and take their life to the next level. So Marnie, welcome to the Jones Zone. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Hi, Chris. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Marnie.
Nice to see you guys again.
So
I do have to say that I wish you would have said hey to me first. It's an ego thing.
Chris stuck his hand out.
I shook her hand and I greeted her. I said, thank you for coming and being a part of our wonderful world today.
Wonderful world.
So that's a little bit of an intro, but if you don't mind, share a little bit of your personal story and some of your professional background and how you got started with being an energy healer, medium, and meditation trainer.
Oh, okay. It goes back to my childhood. My parents always told me I had these intense dreams, but they really weren't dreams. I was 3-4 years old talking to spirits at night when I was supposed to be going to sleep. And I didn't know. And then as I grew up, there were just things that I knew and I didn't know. People, how do you know that? There's no way you could have known that. How do you know that? I don't know. I just knew. As we all go through things as we're growing up, we have experiences that cause us great stress or drama or trauma. And mine brought me to, I chose to become bulimic. So around 8 or 9 years old, everything I knew about myself, all my clair gifts, as you will, psychic gifts, kind of went dormant because I wasn't using them, I wasn't acknowledging them, and I became bulimic and just forgot everything. Amnesia set in. When I was 25, I went to a treatment center, kicking and screaming to go into treatment, but treatment center was my choice for my bulimia, and they teach you relaxation therapy, which is meditation. So I will never forget the first day I'm sitting there, and it was a guided meditation, and I'm just chilling. And as my eyes were closed, images started coming to me, pictures, and one was morphing into another, and they turned out messages of things, but I didn't know that at the time. And we got done, and I turned to the person on my left or right, and I said, wasn't that cool? And I started talking about, and they're looking at me like,
What are you talking about?
And I went, okay, we didn't have the same experience. I mean, they were chilled and had clarity and whatever. And so I kept that to myself a little bit, but I kept getting that. And the images, the communications I get, it's really possible for anybody to get that, but it starts with believing you can. So, you know, this is not, just Marnie can do this. Chris could do this. Brian could do this. Anybody can do this and get that information and have those communications and connections. But you got to start with creating that awareness of being open. So that's what started. The channel started opening and I started remembering things little by little. And then a friend brought me to a class. She's, let's go to this. This cool lady's talking about chakras. Okay, I don't know what that is, but I want to go hang out with you, so I'll go. I don't know if that's like a cooking class, we're going to talk about chocolate, or like what, I had no idea.
Chakras.
Chocolate, whatever. So we went, And I remember sitting there the first time thinking, I already know this information. This is familiar. This is not new. And that just opened the door, and I wanted to know more and more and more and more. And the more I open, the more I learn, the more things come to me. And so I took some classes and was certified in intuitive energy healing. And then when I was in India, I trained with a Reiki master and became a Reiki master.
What's that?
What's Reiki master?
So Reiki is one form of energy healing. That is, it comes from Japan, and it same intuitive energy healing. It's a system that's more of where you're going. You use symbols and use your hands in certain ways. Whether you're laying them on or over the person. And again, it's just to redirect energy and to shift.
It's just, this might be a weird question, but Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid, he does this, rubs his hands together with Daniel. Have you seen Karate Kid?
Uh-huh.
And he puts his hand on it.
Yeah.
Is that kind of it? No, it's not.
A little bit.
It's
it can
not.
Be.
It's
energy,
not.
Energy healing. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reiki is very specific, and a lot of people worldwide know about Reiki, and so you can, I mean, you can
Google it.
Because
he's from Japan, so.
Right.
Like, maybe
yeah. And I could give you, like, the here's the definition thing. It's really about shifting energy. So, because we, you know, yes, this seems like matter, but it's not. Energy is information that moves. We move. Our blood moves. So we're energy, and we vibrate at different places. So, you know, when you walk into a room and people say, oh, you cut the tension with the knife.
Yeah.
Okay. You're feeling energy. You're feeling the energy in the room from something, either someone or someone's that has been there that is making that room feel that way because of the energy they're putting out. And you know, when you go to a concert and that person is captivating, you're just like, oh my God, I can watch that person forever. Like, they were amazing.
I know that feeling.
That's okay. It's the energy.
Yeah.
Or you meet somebody and there's instant chemistry, whether it's a potential mate or a friend, whatever. You're just like you've always known this person. There's something like attracts like, just like magnets, like attracts like, right? So energy follows energy. So if you are, you know, like my husband says, I don't know a stranger. We walk into situations, we can be traveling, and I start talking to people. I just find people really interesting. I like to find out about them. We go to San Francisco and we're in a cab, and the guys were talking, and he says, so what brought you here? Oh, we're here celebrating our first wedding anniversary, and we're spending a few days in San Francisco. We're going to wine country. And I said, and how, you know, are you from the United States? No, my family immigrated. And he's telling me, and Mark's looking at me like, the guy's telling you his whole life story. We're just taking this short little cab ride. And the guy said, so what have you done? I said, well, you just picked us up at the wharf. We were going to head back to the hotel and figure out where we're going to go for dinner. And he said, do you have time? Do you have reservations? You want to be, you have to be somewhere? No. He turns off the meter, and he proceeded to give us an hour-long tour of downtown San Francisco and pointing out local places. Go eat here. Highly recommend. Do you like this kind of food? Yeah, I highly recommend you go here. Here's why. Here's some local off-the-beaten-path places. Music. You want to go here? What kind of music do you like? Here's some local stuff. And didn't charge us for the cab ride. And, of course, I mean, we paid him, but you know, at the end of the day, he dropped us at our hotel an hour later. I mean, these things organically happen, not just to me. They can happen to anybody. But it's about making those connections, right? So how does that work for people? What does it have to do with what I do? Chakras. Okay. So you're getting messages all the time. Right now, you got 2-3 voices going on in your head. And you got the ego voice, which is that one that's there to keep you safe. It's the one that keeps you from putting your hand on the stove so that you don't fry it, your hand while the stovetop is on. But it also is the one that prevents you, because it's all about fear. It's the one that prevents you from taking that risk of maybe opening your heart, being vulnerable. because the last time I did that, I got hurt. Well, don't do that, because remember what happened last time. Well, don't do that. You know, it's the one that makes you second guess. So you got that voice going on. Then you got the other one going, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes. And somewhere in between, you've got the maybe voice. So what do you listen to? It's choice, and people forget that. They think, look what's going on to me in my life. This is what's happening to me. It's happening to me.
Yeah.
Well, that really is very disempowering. So you have no choice. You have no power. Versus, I have choice. I am empowered to make the choice. I can choose to listen to this voice, and I can choose to listen to this voice. And whichever one I choose, then my life is going to reflect that. So, chakras. Chakras are spinning energy centers. I'm just going to talk about the seven main ones because there's a whole bunch of them. But the seven main ones, they start at the base of your spine, your root, and it's called the root chakra. And they go all the way up to the crown of your head, crown chakra. And there's seven. Each one oversees a specific area of the body and also emotions. So we got somebody mowing the lawn.
Yeah, he'll be done in a second.
So when your body is trying to get your attention because of the choices that you're making or things you're not paying attention to and say, hey, pay attention to this, things start to, see, she said it too, hey. Things start to happen in your life, either emotionally or physically in your body. So for me, okay, so I used to be in corporate America. I was super control freak, and I still have a tendency sometimes to be a control freak. Super control freak, had to do it all myself, didn't know how to ask for help, wasn't getting the message in my body. My body was screaming to me. Body was screaming, what happened? I got a cold. Still went to work. It's cold, you know? Kept working. Turned into bronchitis. Still went to work. Took a half day off, but worked from home. Still worked. Bronchitis wasn't getting better. This is weeks now. I'm coughing. I can't keep food down. I'm coughing so hard. Doctor has no idea what it is. They think maybe it's pneumonia. They do an x-ray. No, it's not pneumonia. But we can see little tiny pieces of your lung starting to disintegrate. Okay, well, that's freaking scary,
oh,
right?
Geez.
All right, still nothing. We recommend that you go, the next time you can't breathe, go to the hospital. And hopefully they'll admit you and figure out what this is. Okay, we do that. They don't admit me, because Marnie's not getting the message. So finally, they sent me to a pulmonologist who specializes in the lungs. Now the lungs are in this area, which is your heart chakra area. Your heart chakra is right here. Your heart chakra is the one that manages the lungs, the heart, your just in your shoulders, your upper back, if you have any issues in any of those areas, breast cancer, lung cancer, if you're getting really, really into serious disease. So the pulmonologist talks to me for 5 minutes and he says, we'll take a blood test, but I can tell you, you have the whooping cough and you have to stay out of work for at least 2 months. Yeah, that was, Brian's got this look of smile like, what? And I said, well, can I still work out? I work out with a trainer. No. Can I walk the dog? No. He said, you can get up from bed every morning and if you want to, you can sit on the couch. And I'm can't breathe, can't talk, coughing up a lung, and I am so pissed. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he gave me some medication. All they could give me was cough medicine to try and manage the cough, but there was no other medication. He said, it's rest. Your body needs rest. And if you don't rest, by the time I see you in 3 weeks, if you're not better, you're going in the hospital. Because people die from this. Okay, hello, should be getting my attention, right?
Yeah.
No. So I figured out if I took the cough medicine right away in the morning and went right to my computer, I could get an hour of work done before all the would take over. So a week into this, my husband and I have a huge fight because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And he's like, okay, what's going on? This isn't getting any better. I spoke to my own healer because none of us does this alone, right? And she told me, I'm not getting the message. You're not getting the message. And you're not taking care of you. Because people who have imbalances in the heart chakra often are not feeling loved. And that love starts with ourselves. Because you can't give love outward if you're not giving it here. And it's hard to receive if you're not giving it to yourself here. And I wasn't doing that. I wasn't allowing people to step forward. I wasn't asking for help. So I had to do that. And I spent too much. And as soon as I gave in, within a week, I started to get better. It was a huge lesson. And I'm kind of a hard head. So for me, when I need those lessons, I usually get put on my ass. And, oh, can I swear?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
I usually get put on my ass and because it's like, okay, you need to like pay attention. You're not paying attention. Now, I know that now, but back then it was a whole process. So those chakras... You have your root chakra. Root chakra is all about survival. It's what are those things you need to survive? It's food, it's money, it's shelter, it's clothing. It's your immune system is based there. It's the basic survival needs.
It reminds me of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like the very bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because it's at the bottom of your root chakra.
Right, it's a root. So yeah. It's a root. Below that, you're into negative energy. And so,
can I?
Yeah,
what do you mean by negative energy? Like below the root chakra. When you say you're below that, you're in
so
negative
if you're
energy.
If you're vibrating below the root chakra, your energy is down really into negative energy. Really slow.
Okay.
Very slow. Do you ever notice like it feels different when you like if you travel to different places? Some places move really really fast, and some places move really slow. And not in a happy way.
Yeah.
Just everything just feels like sludge. That's, you can feel the energy, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about a chakra, so let me back up and explain what that is. Chakras look like a funnel. So, and when you can see them, if you see the energy, it's like a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's coming into me here, it would be wider, narrowing in to the heart chakra area. And you could feel it just by putting your hand up when you're opening up to feeling energy, and you could feel where your heart chakra is. But you also have it coming out the back. So it's narrow and then comes out. Front is present day. Back is past. DNA, lineage, past life. All that stuff is back there. So sometimes we
past life.
Past life. If you've been here before. Not everybody has. Some of us are new and have never had a human life before. And then you some people.
That?
So think about it. You ever met somebody and you go, God, they're an old soul.
Yeah.
Because they are. They've been here a lot.
So for the person who hasn't been here before in the human form, they could have been a donkey, an elephant.
They might have been from another realm. They could have been a star person.
A star person? What's that?
They might not have any idea what this human concept is like. This is getting into some
this
really like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like getting into a whole other... This is where people start to go, ooh, that's a little woo-woo.
Yeah.
Right? But in getting back to... Because energy is what we're talking about. Okay, so we're all made up of this energy. So for example, so we'll say... Say you take in, I don't know, we're just going to do something I could do the math to. We're talking about 7 chakras, 70 units of energy. Say you receive 70 units of energy every day because you give out energy. Every exchange you have, you're giving out energy. And then you're receiving energy. It all comes into the heart chakra area and it gets dispersed evenly. So we're just talking about the 7. 10 go to the first chakra, 10 go to the second chakra, and so on. And that energy helps keep that area in balance. So if you're an overgiver, let's say, I'm always taking care of everybody else. I'm always doing for everybody else. I never take time for me. I give. I don't receive well. Okay, so I'm giving. So this area is going to be very out of balance. So you start to get bronchial infections and cold. This is where it's starting to try and get your attention physically. Okay, emotionally, you're struggling to in your relationships. Your heart relationships, your love relationships, they blow up, you sabotage them, something happens, and you're making the connection, maybe, or you're really, really lonely. These are some indicators. Most often for the clients that I work with, a lot of it is heart, but before we get to the heart, it's about trust and worth, and that is the gut. Irritable bowel, gut issues, diabetes, pancreas, all of those areas.
Loss of appetite, is that?
Could be in there because you're tightening up, right? You're tightening on the inside because it's emotional, right?
Anxiety, fear. That's
anxiety, yeah. Fear, yeah.
That feeling all in your that. Gut. I know that feeling.
Okay, so that's those areas. The people there, this area here, this is the solar plexus, so it's third chakra. It's all about how you see yourself, how the world sees you, how you want the world to see you, your confidence, your self-esteem, the trust you have of yourself. So people who have trouble making decisions, you know, you might say, oh, this person can never make it. They're wishy-washy. They say yes, then they say no. And they say, then they're back and forth a bit. Okay.
You're literally like talking to me right now.
There's an imbalance going on here. It's nothing. I mean, a lot of people have it. This is not like, you're the only one. This was my thing. I had huge imbalance there. And I worked through energy work and energy healing and through meditation and some other tools that I teach my clients because I like it simplified. I don't like long, drawn out process. I like to send them. My clients like usually like that efficiency. I did these things for myself and continue to do them every day to help myself trust me, like me. I was one of those people that couldn't even look in the mirror and I would go, okay, I like my hair. I couldn't say, I love you. I love you, Marnie. Marnie, I love me. And mean it. You know, if I said it, it was like bullshit.
You felt like you had to say it.
I felt, well, because people say, oh, you don't love yourself. Yes, I do. Yes, I. But they say, people would say, look in the mirror. Can you look yourself in the eye in the mirror and say that?
It's tough, huh? It can be.
It was tough. A long time. And that was, so I started with one thing. Well, I really like my eyes. And it was like, it wasn't love. It was like. And then I built on that. And eventually, you know, like now, I love me. I love my life. I love myself. It is not perfect. Life is messy. That's why we're here. We're here to experience life. If it was all perfect, we'd be bored out of our minds, right? So with energy healing, what happens with the chakra is I'm redirecting the energy. I'm rebalancing that chakra. Now, does it stay? Is it permanently fixed? No. Because the person number one has to say yes. Because I'm a conduit, so I can help. But if the person is like, oh, maybe, okay, you can do that. You know, it'll trickle in. But also, if their beliefs and their processes and systems aren't shifting and changing and growing, then it's just going to keep throwing this area out of balance. So it'll go back in balance, out of balance, back in balance, out of balance. That's exhausting. Then people get tired. So when I work with someone, it's about, okay, so not just come to me forever and I'll fix you, because I don't do that. Just come to me. We'll work together. You're going to be committed and we're going to redirect your energy, teach you tools so that you can help rebalance yourself and keep going to the next level. Because everything we learn, think about when you learn something and you, oh, that's really great. And I've healed that part. And then 3 years later, you have a similar experience. Like, wait a minute, but I healed this thing over here. Why is it coming back? Well, because now you're experiencing it at a different level. And it's all that awareness and complexity. So I'm experiencing things in my life at new levels all the time. But we take it in differently. You know, the first time you're experiencing it, you're like, oh, this sucks. You know, eventually, like this thing that I re-experienced just a few weeks ago was something from my college days. And I avoided that thing like the plague. Ugh, it was for 10 years. I kept avoiding it and avoiding it. And now when it came back up, it was like, huh, okay, that's another way of looking at it. That was a new piece. All right. Move on. But it's a shift. So your inner world, your inner how you feel, what's going on inside you is reflected out here. So whatever's going on out here that you're not happy with, when you go back inside, the answers are all here and you can change it. Any of us can change it. And that's how I help people.
Jeez.
I don't think we got into the finish of the whole chakra thing, but this is a lot.
This is big information. Like, this is one of the few times where I'm like, I'm not sure where I want to go.
Take it wherever you want.
All right, so being an energy expert the way you were, and how did that bring back into the medium type of stuff?
How did the mediumship come in?
Yeah.
So, I've only claimed that in the last probably 5 years. Although now I realize it was going on back when I was a kid. I was working with a mentor. So, because I'm always growing myself. I just always believe in doing that. And I work with, and she's a mentor healer. And she would give me assignments to just claim more clarity in my intuition. And we were doing different exercises. So it was homework. She would give me names. First name, last initial. And a lot of them were ambiguous names. So like Chris, is Chris a man? Is Chris a woman? And my homework was to connect with the name, connect with the energy, and to write down what I got. So this one name she gave me, I connected, it was a male, and like the connection wouldn't let me go.
Like, what does that mean? Like, you're sitting around.
So I'm just sitting by myself. I raise up my energy. So what that means is I pull myself up into a higher vibe.
How do you do that?
So, well, think about, okay, when you're pissed or sad, okay, you're kind of sluggish and down here, and somebody puts on your favorite music that always makes you smile, right?
Mm-hmm.
You start moving up. Boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. So you can train yourself, learn how to move your energy up. Because my energy will be up in this area somewhere in here, 6th, 7th, 8th chakra up in there, to connect, whether I'm connecting into my intuition or I'm connecting somewhere else, where I want to go. And so I do that, and it's also a matter of learning how to focus on that voice and ignoring or just saying to the ego voice, shh.
Shut up, ego.
Let me enjoy this.
When we say, we don't quite say it that nicely. We usually say, shut the F up. And just seeing, what do I hear?
So, all right, so back to the story. You brought your energy up.
I brought my energy up. And now that I'm used to it, I don't necessarily have to do that. It's just about getting very clear and quiet so that you can hear. And this information started coming, and I was writing it down. And then I was like, okay, I got enough, I'm done. And it wouldn't stop. I was like, okay, I'm done. My husband's done with, he was working, doing some extra work that night. I'm like, I want to go play with Mark, you know, like whatever. And I kept writing, and finally done. So she and I meet, and I'm sharing with her the information I got. And she said, you're one of very few people that has gotten this person. because he's dead. And he's been dead 25 years. And I was like, wow. And I was thinking, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, and she looked at me, she says, well, you know, that makes you a medium. And I went, oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. And she goes, no, you need to accept that. And I said, yeah, I accept it, but I'm not telling anybody. She goes, no, really, you need. And I said, I hear you. I accept it. I'm just going to tell people I do energy healing. I'm not telling people about that. I know other people who do that. They do it really well. I don't need to do that. And I think part of it was I was scared of it.
Is that the same thing as a psychic? Like the people who can read the future? I mean, is this all kind of related?
It's all related. So psychic is like clairvoyant.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And reading the future. I'm going to tell you what I believe on that. Okay. So whether you're going and getting your tarot cards read or somebody's giving you an intuitive reading, whatever it is, you're human. You have free will. We all have free will. So whatever I tell someone or is being told to me by another reader in that moment is based on what they're picking up right now. But you can walk out that door and make a decision that changes everything. So it's only in that, you know, you have free will. You can change it. It's not a death sentence, so to speak. It's not a, this is your life and this is the only way it's going to be. It's based on all the decisions you've made up till now.
When your mentor gave you that name, was that someone that she knew?
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to say, yeah, that's what he or she would have said.
She knew every name she gave me. But all of them up until that point had been alive. I didn't know. I didn't even pick up that he was dead. I was just getting information about him, and I picked up a crap load of stuff, of just intricate pieces about him.
So he was telling you his story, like, yeah, I grew up on this farm.
He was telling me what he looked like. He was telling me how old he was. So it was how old he was when he died. He was telling me the color of his skin. He told me if he was married. He told me just things about him that she would know, or somebody who knew him would know.
And so when you brought her your story, she was like, damn, you got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the intention, I think, was to see where my talents lied, where my gifts were. And that was one of the gifts, but I didn't own that for a long time. The first time I ever did a psychic fair type of thing, somebody sat down and they didn't know. I never said I was a medium, and they asked me. They said, I have this person in my family died, and they were wanting closure. And in my mind, I'm like, why are you asking me? I didn't tell anybody that's what I do. Like, why are you here? And then the other voice, you know, that was the fear voice of like, I don't know if I'm going to get it right. And then the other voice said, this is another form of healing because she needs closure. She needs to know this person's okay. And I was able to connect with that spirit and was able to share with her things that only she would know. And that, yes, the person was fine, everything was good, and actually was there in her home, and you know, feel free to talk, wanted her to communicate with them, and she cried happy tears of joy, and I could feel just this calmness that came over her. It was like something just closed.
Was it her child?
No, it was her sister. Younger sister. And that's why I said, okay. Well, I'm not going to tell people I do it, but if it comes up, I'll do it. And that was for a long time. It was I've sort of done this kicking and screaming until a couple years ago. And then I worked with a different mentor, and we had a medium circle. And so there were a bunch of us working together and really understanding more about it and how to better access it. And, you know, with mediumship, there's different talents. In that some people work with clearing the dark energy. Some people help spirits that didn't cross over to cross over. Because some of them will think, well, I got to stay here to take care of my family. I mean, even though I'm dead, I need to make sure my family's okay, and so they won't cross over. And so to help them cross over.
Can they choose that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like they can just like legit stay in the house, but they're not with their family.
I mean, you've heard of haunt. I mean, like
haunted. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, they're there, or they missed the window.
Like okay, I know it's a movie. I know, but it's a true story. Yeah. Like Amityville Horror. Like it's it's a haunted house.
Right.
True story.
I don't know that much about that one.
So Amityville Horror is like it's a house. That this guy, it's a true story. This guy named Chris DeMeo, or whatever his name was, Romeo, killed his family. And I know it's the negative energy stuff, but he killed his family.
It's just dark stuff.
And then, yeah, and then he's like, so the house is haunted. It's a movie and everything, but like the new family moves in, and there's like, you know, it's a haunted house. They see a bunch of images and throw furniture and stuff like that. And I forgot where I was going with that. I do that all the time. But like,
so some of that
Can they do that? Can it translate into physical? Oh man,
it can. I mean, it's not often that happens, but it can. It depends on what it was that was done in that space, and I don't do the whole.
Yeah.
I don't get into the dark energy stuff. Like if I can sense that that's what it is, I know people to call, and I'm like, I'll help them, but I'm not gonna. That's just not my thing. My whole thing is about helping people
empowerment and feel better
Better and getting back to love. You know, my vision for the world, which my husband smiles when I say this. He goes, "Oh, you're such a mush pot."
a mush pot.
Because I want to put more love and harmony in the world, and helping people one person at a time feel more whole and whole love for themselves does that, because then they in turn put more love into the world and so on and so on and so on. And that's my vision for the world. And regardless of, I mean, I know people have issues with things that are going on in the world right now, in our country, whatever your stance is. I also believe there's reasons that people bring stuff like that out into the world, because it gets you to stop being complacent and to take a stand. Everybody's got to take a stand now, make a decision. Are you here or are you here? Do you like this or do you like that? People who weren't talking, people who were just, you know, whatever, are now talking, and they're making decisions and getting louder, and things change because of that. So people like that, although they may feel icky to some people, they're catalysts, and it's necessary. I mean, think about what 9/11 did in this country. Would I want that repeated? Heck no. Like that was awful. But what did it do in our country? What happened to the people in this country? I mean, yes, everybody came together and it was very kumbaya for a while, but think about the changes that went on in our country for the better after 9/11. So I'm not advocating for anything like that to occur. I'm just saying there's reasons that things take place. And in this world, in the world that we live in, you have this metaphysical law called the law of polarity, which is where one exists, so does its polar opposite. So you can't have one without the other. Can't have up without down. Can't have left without right. Good without bad. Light without dark. You know, if you had, I don't know, a piece of paper, but you can't have half a piece of paper. You've got a front and a back, right? Mm-hmm. So everything has a polar opposite. So it's about how you choose to live your life, knowing that, because there's stuff that feels shitty. I mean, you know, life's messy. You know, we go through things, and a lot of times as we're growing as people, you experience something that feels, oh God, awful, and you want to turn the other way and run. But when you choose to face it, which is hard sometimes to face it, it actually doesn't have as much power over you as you think, because it's not as big as you make it. But when you want to run away from it, and then you move past it and you learn from it, And it helps get you to this next place in your life that makes you who you are. You know, like, I don't look and go, God, it sucks that I was bulimic in my life. It sucks that I was tortured in elementary school by some kids and bullied. That absolutely sucks. But you know what? It made me who I am. I lived through all that and I learned. I had a lot of heartache, but I learned through that and I learned how to love myself because of it, in spite of it, whatever, however you want to say it. And I love me and I love the life I'm living. I met my husband because I listened to the voice, not the scary voice, the other voice. You know, I tell people I created him, you know, manifesting. We talk about law of attraction, right? So I had come out of a 5-year relationship. I woke up one day in this 5-year relationship and looked over and I'm like, how did I get here? This was somebody I never wanted to date. How did I live? I lived with him for 5 years. Like, what? This is not, like, this doesn't match at all. Not a bad person. It just wasn't a good fit. We wanted so many different things. And I got out of that relationship and I got really clear. What do I want? I don't want to get married just to put some dude's name on the back of mine. I want a partnership. I want a best friend, a lover, a co-parent, somebody that we just so enjoy being together. Even going to the grocery store, something mundane is fun. And we're honest with each other. We help each other grow. You know, all those things. I got very clear. It wasn't that he's, you know, 6'3" and whatever. It was these other things. 3 weeks later, I got an email sitting in my corporate America desk. You've qualified for a free profile on CupidJunction.com. And if you Google it, that place doesn't exist anymore. CupidJunction.com. And I thought, well, all right, I'll give it a whirl. Filled it out. Didn't even put a picture up. It was just a quick thing. The next day, my husband emailed me. And we traded a couple emails. And as I'm reading his profile, he was checking the boxes. And he didn't have a picture up either, so this was all words. Except for one. There was one thing about him that was, the ego went, no, no, no. And it was his age. I have always, my entire dating career, dated guys older. 1 year older, 3 years older, 15 years older. They were always older. And Mark's 5 years younger than me. And my sister is 3 years younger than me, so he's younger than my sister. And my ego was like, what are people going to say about you? Oh, that's stupid. All this crap was going on. And this other voice was saying, well, what you're doing hasn't worked so far. Why not give it a whirl? It's just a cup of coffee. It's not like you're marrying him. And maybe he has friends. Maybe that's how you meet this person. It's not a commitment. So I said, all right. And we talked on the phone for 4 hours. We met 2 days later. We were together about 9 hours, hiking and lunching and whatever. And 6 months later, he asked me to marry him. And 9 months after that, we were married. And we'll be married 16 years at the end of the year.
Congratulations.
And it's not perfect, but he is my best friend.
Well, not everybody is perfect like I am.
But even the relationship, I mean, there's days I'm sure he'd like to throw me through a window. I am not easy. I mean, you know, just because I do this doesn't mean I got my crap too. Everybody does. But he accepts and loves me, and I accept and love him, warts and all. So even when you're going through the hard stuff, that remembering that makes it easy. Easier, I would say. But then I created that. And you can do that. But you have to believe and trust that you deserve to be loved for you. You don't have to wear these masks and change all these things. You know, my son is going through it right now. He's got a little bit of a Buddha belly. And kids are making fun of him. He's in fifth grade. And I said, no matter what you weigh, you are worthy of being loved. And if you know that, everybody else will get it. And that's where it comes from, because you emanate that energy. You know, why are people drawn, like when you and I met Brian at the meeting, because you weren't there yet, Chris, when Brian and I first met, you were setting up. What draws people to you?
What draws people to me?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, like the energy?
I don't know.
Yeah, the energy.
Like, what is it about you that draws people to you?
Besides my charisma and rugged good looks, it's just, I think, I don't know, I like to think I'm a pretty approachable guy.
Okay.
You know, I give off of a certain vibe.
You're open?
Open, yeah.
You smile?
Smile. Try to smile a
lot.
You
do? You smile a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you're not... ego isn't so, hey, I'm so great and wonderful and so
overpowering. And we did talk about the ego too, because I remember sharing you with a bunch of stories about how the meditation has been helping me with that ego in the head. So for the listeners, I gave her a story. I think the example was, I had my girls in my apartment one night, and we live on the second floor apartment, and there's a third floor apartment above us, and the kids up above us were just like having a sleepover or something, and it was just like boom, boom, and it was like, oh. But at that time, I was like, okay, let me take a step back, because I was like, the ego is like, I'm gonna go up there, I'm gonna tell them to shut up. I'm gonna tell them to shut up. But then I was like, they probably don't, they don't know what they're doing. I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, and then here's where I started to make a shift. I was like, all right, these kids are like 8. They're having a sleepover. I was like, you know what? I hope they're just having a great time. I hope they're having, I hope they look back on this night and smile and have a fond memory.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I can put up with a couple noises for a couple hours. You know what I mean? They're not deliberately trying to make me mad.
Right.
You know, so that's the story that I gave her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
It comes back to you. So we were talking about solar plexus earlier. Solar plexus, that's where, you ever meet somebody who they're just, my shit doesn't stink, I'm the most wonderful thing since sliced bread. I don't mean they're confident. They're like overconfident. You're not like that. You're open. You're smiling. You're charming, but you're not like, hey, I'm so charming, you know, like, I'm so slick, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
That's why people talk to you.
Cool. Charming.
You're charming.
It's been a while since you heard that.
You know, we should get Marty on the podcast more often. Yeah. Tell you something.
Well, Marty, who should reach out to you? Who's your ideal client?
My ideal client is someone who's ready to commit and do the work of, you know what? I'm ready to change my life. I'm ready to shift my emotions and to get help in doing that, to gain clarity in my life so that I can find peace. Who wants the shortcuts to peace? Because, you know, I'm not do this forever, right? The efficiencies. Somebody who is ready to move forward, who's maybe stressed, overstressed, not liking their body, looking for love, or their love relationship isn't working for some reason, not happy in their career. It's all this outward stuff, and is ready to look inward to choose differently.
And you have all sorts of different programs, and like, how does the program actually work?
So the one that most people get into with me is called Love You, because it's about loving you. And I take everybody through a process of, we meet, whether that's in person or remote, because I work with people all over the country. So it doesn't have to be come in person to my space in Matthews. It can also be on the phone. It can be via Skype, Zoom, whatever. And I take them through in a session. We talk. And I will ask questions, and I can kind of read where we're going, if we're going too far or not, you know, because not everybody can rip the Band-Aid off. Some people need more time to process. But I want to build a relationship, because if I'm not your person, if you don't trust me, I can't help you. I'm there for the good stuff when it's okay, we're feeling better. And then when, you know, you hit a wall or things start to get a little uncomfortable and scary, I'm there. I'm the one holding your hand saying, I'm going with you, and we're going to walk through this and get to the other side, and you're going to feel even better than you did before. And that's really what it's about. And so there are stages, and it starts with awareness, because you can't heal what you don't know. And you know, like most people go, I'm stuck. I feel like I'm stuck. Something's wrong. And I can't put my finger on it, or I think I know what it is. And it's the surface piece, but it's really, okay, so what's the fear below that? Mm-hmm. And what's the fear below that? And what's the fear below that? Not to uncover it, to sit and dwell on it and wring your hands and have a pity party, but to be aware. Because when you're aware, then you can start to make choices. And that gives you empowerment.
And then when you're aware, you can also choose to acknowledge that feeling, right?
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge it.
You have to acknowledge right. it. It's otherwise you stuff it into the shadows.
Yeah, and that's
where you got all your shadow shit down here.
Yeah.
We all have shadow shit.
Yeah.
And it's that stuff that we don't want to look at. Mm. And the stuff that, oh, if I don't look at it, nobody will know it's there. Well, it ekes out anyway. Everybody knows it's there. They may not call you out on it, and some people do, but deal with it. Find the superpower in your shadow. Because there's a superpower in your shadow. Like, my anger used to be in my shadow. I used to never own my anger. I'm not angry. Oh, no, I don't get angry. You know, and it was...
Angry.
Meanwhile, I was sabotaging my body. I was destroying relationships. I was doing all of these other things. But I'm not angry. But what is the superpower from anger? There's passion in anger.
It's a high frequency emotion, right?
Yeah. There's good things that come out of anger. It's how you choose to express it. Yeah. And that was the part for me that I had to learn was I have to choose to, if I choose to express it differently, it's a superpower.
It's a good perspective,
You know, but again, that takes time. So we go through and we talk. I put them on a massage table to do the actual energy shifting. And if they were working remotely, I literally will take my phone and pop it on the table. So they're just, for me, it's a thing to do. But I start shifting energy the second the session starts. It's already running. It's just more intense once we get into that point. And I teach them. I teach them tools. And then I send them some information via email. That's me talking about, like, the first module is about awareness. And then there's a meditation that goes along with that. And there's about 12 sessions in that program. And people transform. It's amazing. I'll get a text from a client, and we'll be doing something in the house, and a client will text, and I'll take a minute and look at it. And Eli will know, my son will know, because mommy starts to dance. And I'm like, yay! And I just, like, it makes me so happy when I see my clients come in saying, I really want to be able to do this, but there's no way. And then they're doing it, and they're living their life the way they said they always wanted to.
Good. Outstanding. Well, whew.
What else do you want to know?
Man.
I'll tell you anything.
I guess I just want to give you a chance to tell people how to get in touch with you and how to get started. And and just kind of, I guess I normally tell people to take us home, but yours has been so robust.
You're like, where are we?
Yeah. And take us home could be a lot of different things to you, I guess. So.
You can get in contact with me a lot of ways. So the best way is to call me or text me. Actually, because if you call me and I don't know your number, I'll probably let it roll to voicemail.
Yeah.
But you can leave me a voicemail or text me. And you want me to give the number?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. It's 704-516-0616. You can go to my website. And there's a way to contact me there. And that's www.lovinglylotus.com. My Facebook Intuitive Energy Healer page is at Marnie Healer. So you can contact me that way. And I really just like to talk to people first. Because we got to make sure there's a connection. It's so important. And if I'm not the right person for them, I will tell them. Because I know a lot of people that do what I do. And that's got to be the fit. So if it's not me, I will refer them to the person that feels like it's a better fit, because that's the way that they get the healing.
Yeah.
I won't take on everybody just to take, you know, if they say they're ready, great. But the next step is, are we a good fit? And so we talk. We have a conversation. And then if that feels good, then we move forward.
Awesome.
And that is a free call. That's not a, I don't charge them for that.
All right. Well, Marnie, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, Brian and Chris.
Thanks,
thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.